With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
2023 at the Great American Outdoor Show.
All right, so now the partners. Our Grounds Coffee Company, right here in Pennsylvania. Go check him out, ourgroundscoffeecompany.com, or check him out on Instagram. He's having a little issue with the coffee right now, the coffee grounds, but he's going to get it figured out. Go there, check out some merch, use code BCPA, and that'll get you 15% off your entire order. Tideweed. Just got an awesome backpack from him that can haul my sticks in. If I have a pre-hung stand, just go right in there. I can even probably pack out a deer in that backpack. It's pretty big. Andrew got some stuff that we're going to be posting here shortly once we all get together again. Pretty much we're all on parental leave because of my newborn. I'm doing the intros here. We have pre-recorded episodes coming out, so go check them out. Tideweed, it's not just camo. It's not just blinds, not just trail cameras. It's all the above, fishing and hunting and camping. Go check it out. They even have a heated sleeping bag. Use code BCP18. That gets you 18% off your entire order. Go to DeerAge, DeerAge.com. Get any animal you want aged. Use code BackcountryPA. That'll get you 10% off your very first order. Forget Genetics. Forget Genetics is one of our first partners that we ever had. Go to their website, get some minerals, get a lolly, get a shirt, get a hat. Get a shot glass. If they don't sell shot glasses, reach out to us. Maybe we can hook you up. Use code BackcountryPA, BackcountryPA. That'll get 20% off your entire order.
Go to adjustableredDot.com or
just Plus Outfitters over in Eastern North Carolina.
The Lightsey Family Ranch.
A-Team Outfitting LLC, and I also own A-Team Adventures LLC.
It's OnPointAdventureFoods.com.
And we're back. And we're back again with the Backcountry PA podcast. This is the first interview of 2023 at the Great American Outdoor Show. If you want to introduce yourselves here again, who you are and what are you with, who you with?
I'm Chris. I'm one of the guides at Adventures Plus Outfitters over in Eastern North Carolina.
I'm Mark. I also guide for Adventures Plus Outfitters.
All right. And this year we're focusing more on the stories. We love to hear stories, the craziest stories, the most fun, the one that gets your blood pumping. Do you guys have a story this year, whether it was your own personal hunt or one through your outfitter?
I had a good one. One of my clients, Jack, he's been coming with me for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. And had a guy sitting in a stand the day before, a stand we called the Bulldozer Path. And guy sat there the evening before and had a bunch of does come in there, and you know, first week of November, I said, man, you should probably sit there again. Well, He said, I don't know. I just didn't really see much. Said, all right, well, somebody else is going to hunt it tomorrow if you don't. He said, okay. Sure enough, 7:15 the next morning, Jack killed an absolute toad. Come in there chasing does, and actually ended up having two or three other shooter bucks on him that morning, and we ended up killing another one of them, another really nice 8-point. I'd say 2 days later, in there chasing does. It was just a really hot stand. It was a good time for everybody.
I'd say you don't want to move when the rut's hot. And you know, if the does are there, the buck's going to come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen to your guide.
Yes. Yeah, really.
I'm trying to think. This year, nothing really crazy happened.
Savannah's bear was a good one.
That was a good one. So we're running dogs, and one of the bear, a big bear, like 400 plus, squirts out across the road with nothing on it. So we go and turn out on it. And it trees in 10, 15 minutes. Carry the girl back there. I go back there first to make sure it's in the tree, what we want. And get on the radio and I call Savannah. She's just turned 15. Call her, like, you need to get out of the truck and get here right now. She's been helping with dogs and stuff for years, and finally, like, it's her turn, right? It's her turn. So we get back in there, and dogs have it treed, and get everybody back there, get everybody in position. She shoots. I follow up. Bear falls out of the tree. Big ditch. Big, deep ditch. Bear falls in the ditch.
Oh, no.
Go running up there. There's no bear. It's completely gone. I'm like, dude, what is going on? And we're like taking sticks. I'm like, it didn't run out of here. The bear was literally like stuck in the mud at the bottom of the ditch. We had to like take sticks and poke it and pull it back out of the ditch to get it out of the ditch.
So in case you wondered, moral of the story, bears sink.
Yes, bears they sink. Do sink.
They don't float. Bears don't float.
So this bear right here, you said was 642, correct?
Yeah, this is 642.
What is that like? What's the average size bear in North Carolina?
Average size bear is going to be 250 to 350.
Okay.
You know, every year.
NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
We're going to kill a couple in the 400 range. Normally kill one over five.
Okay.
All right. When we killed that one, he was number 8 SCI for head score.
Oh, shit.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So yeah. What about whitetails? You do whitetails too?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So what's like the average whitetail? Like, because everyone cares about score, I could care less about score, to be honest with you. But what's like the average you guys have?
I'd say an average buck in eastern North Carolina, if he breaks 100 inches, he's a pretty good
one.
Okay, all right. Every year we're going to kill some over 120, 130.
Yeah.
It happens. But an average good quality buck in eastern North Carolina is going to be 100-inch deer.
Okay, normally. All right. So what's a base package you guys offer for just the working guy, you know, that kind of stuff, and what's all included in it?
We're doing a couple show specials. One's going to be a 3-day muzzleloader hunt for $1,000.
Okay.
There's your average base package.
Yeah.
A lot of guys come down and try us out with that.
Yeah.
And then they end up turning it into longer clients, lifelong clients. Got okay. Guys come down, do our pre-rut package. That's $1,600. Okay. Or they'll come in and fall into a rut hunt doing a $2,000 hunt.
All right.
Not saying one's better than the other. I had just as many bucks killed late season after Thanksgiving when I have a little bit better deal on some hunts as I do in my pre-rut season right there, first part of October.
Okay. All right. Cool. Where can people get a hold of you? Phone number, email, website?
Yeah, you can call us at any time, 252-809-2939, or look us up at adventuresplusoutfitters.com. We also have Facebook and Instagram, Adventures Plus Outfitters. Pretty easy to find us. We're easy to get a hold of.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for being on here and telling this funny stories.
Yes, sir. No problem.
All right, buddy.
We're here with Lee. And Lee, why don't you just give us your spiel. Tell us where you're from and what it's all about.
Well, we're in Lake Placid, Florida. Sunny South Florida. Way, way warmer than up here in the cold country.
Oh, yes.
But yeah. we we have a product here that everybody from the cold likes to come down and get, the alligators and the wild boar, and we do Osceola turkeys, bobwhite quail, kind of offer a little all of the native species from Florida.
Awesome. Do you want to, do you have any stories from this past year that you'd like to tell, like maybe a, the big story of the year?
Man, there's so many. We harvest so many alligators and hogs. There's a story behind every one. The gator that bit the guy in the hand that we thought was dead.
That sounds like a good one.
That does sound like a good story.
You know, it wasn't. It's not much of a story. I'm like, look, we're propping his mouth open for pictures, and I'm, don't ever put your hand in his mouth, even though he's dead. They're cold-blooded, and they still can bite you. And he just kept messing around with that mouth, and finally the gator, you know, just kind of is cold, because he is cold-blooded, he's got his nerves, he shut his mouth on the guy's hand, and it didn't hurt anything, but it taught him to listen next time.
That sounds like an educational experience for sure. Yes. Getting bit by the gator. How big was that gator then?
7 foot.
7 foot? Is that average or kind of?
Yeah, well, 7 foot's pretty average. You know, that's a reasonable price. We get $1,000 for a 7-footer. That's your tag and license and everything. So I mean, it's, you know, that's what most people come after. It's a good size to make a pair of boots out of, or if you want it full mounted, it's a good, that take up a whole lot of room.
So what's a typical package that you sell? What are those?
So here at the show, we're selling a gator, a hog, and a night stay at our lodge for $1,500. We hog hunt in the afternoon, and then we spend the night, all meals and everything's included. Then the next morning, we get up and go gator hunt. Pretty reasonably priced, guaranteed opportunities. Really, no one goes home without alligator or hog.
Okay, so when you say guaranteed, mostly it's you guaranteed to see.
Oh yeah, we'll see a lot. You know, the only time we do not maybe get one is if somebody shoots one and we wound it, and we, you know, of course we make all efforts, but sometimes a few occasions we aren't able to retrieve it.
Well, it sounds like a good time. If someone's listening and they want to follow you or get the scoop, where do they go?
You can go to Lightsea Family Ranch on Facebook or Instagram. I do storylines every day, post pictures almost every day, or our website's floridahuntingoutfitter.com.
What does gator taste like? Chicken?
Well, somebody said it best a minute ago. It's a mix between chicken and shrimp.
I mean, salty, right?
Yeah, if you put salt on it.
Or hot sauce.
Yeah, hot sauce too. Well, thanks so much, Lee. We really appreciate it, and thanks for letting us talk to you.
Thank y'all.
My name is Tyler Kuhn, owner, outfitter of A-Team Outfitting LLC, and I also own A-Team Adventures LLC. It's an ecotourism company in Alaska. I'm originally from Western Pennsylvania, the Newcastle area, about, you know, hour north of Pittsburgh, for those who don't know Newcastle. Been in Alaska doing this sort of thing for close to 10 years now. Moved up right after high school, didn't know anybody, just hopped on a plane and flew to Alaska to go be a mountain man.
That's ballsy.
I'd
say, wow.
Yeah, so I mean, it was definitely, you know, pretty interesting. Learned a lot. I guide 9 months a year in Alaska, live in a tent on the side of a mountain for about 270 to 280 days a year.
Damn.
Hunt everything from the southeast rainforest all the way up to the Arctic of the Brooks Range. So that's everything from grizzly, Alaskan brown, Kodiak brown, Sitka black-tailed deer, dull sheep, Rocky Mountain goat, moose. I mean, I do it all.
Jeez.
But yeah.
You're the definition of backcountry hunting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely happiest when I'm on a tent soaking wet on the side of a mountain.
In the Urban Dictionary, it says Tyler.
Yes.
Backcountry. Your picture and everything. Like,
yeah, right on. Right on.
So pretty much we want to hear, it could be from this year, previous year, what is the funniest, most epic story that you have?
Yeah, so I'd say probably on the scale of epic, we'll go. So primarily, I'm a bear hunting outfit. Mm-hmm. That's my bread and butter, chasing grizzlies and brown bears for 9 months. So a story that happened probably, I don't know, a few years ago now it's been. So me and a buddy of mine, we were taking a pair of buddy hunters out, mm-hmm. two best friends, and then me and my guide buddy are also best friends, so it worked out perfect.
Yeah.
His name was Scott, and then me and Scott take these guys out to this remote cabin that we had that we would hunt bears out of on these salmon streams. Scott and his client went one way, me and my client went another. The first night they killed their grizzly, and they came back to camp. We didn't see anything the first day. Scott and his hunter talking about what they're wanting to do next. Scott's client decides to go back to the main base camp, and then Scott was trying to decide if he wanted to do that or hunt with us.
Yeah.
He decided to hunt with us, and I'm glad he did, because we ended up going out the next day on our hunt, and it kind of got crazy on us. We're sitting on this salmon stream. Scott's looking up one way. I'm looking downstream the other way. Client's right in the middle of us, so we're glassing both directions of the river.
Uh-huh.
This bear comes out on Scott's side, and he's like, hey, bear, we got one coming. So we get ready. Scott is getting ready to do his backup shot, so he gets up on a shooting stick on his gun, and the client gets set up on his, and I'm on the binos to watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Alaska, especially on bear hunts, we highly recommend that you do we guides do backup shots on the bears, because it takes okay. 6 to 8 rounds typically to put a grizzly bear down.
Oh, wow.
That's with a high-powered Magnum cartridge.
Jeez. I only have 5 in my clip.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, very important, at least 2 shooters for it. So then we go, like I said, we plan our shots and everything. I'm on the glass watching. This bear grabs a salmon in its mouth, and it's getting ready to run across and, get into the timber. And right before that, goes broadside, hunter shoots. I see the salmon just go flying out of the bear's mouth through the air. And then Scott's gun goes off, but I see this huge splash of water, like 5 feet, in front of the bear. Uh-huh. I'm like, so I think Scott just missed. So the bear runs off, and the hunter's like going hooting and hollering. I was like, okay, did we get it? I was like, yeah, look good. I mean, I can't, it ran into the woods.
Yeah.
And I looked to Scott to see what he thought, and Scott's laying on the ground, his hat's blown off his head, and he's just laying there face down. I'm like, first thing that came to my mind, I was like, he just shot Scott. Like, I'm just like, that was like the first reflex I had, So I like grabbed Scott and I like roll him over, and he just looks at me, and his eyes are huge, and he's like all dazed and confused. Here, the hunter had scooted up some right before the shot, and his muzzle was right next to Scott's head, and he had a 375 H&H shooting a 300 grain bear load with a muzzle break, and the concussion just blew Scott's hat off and just almost knocked him out.
Yeah.
And so when Scott's gun went off, he just like accidentally pulled the trigger essentially. So we're waiting with Scott, and he's all dazed and confused. I always wait at least an hour before we start tracking one of these bears. So we wait an hour. We're waiting for Scott to come, to again, and then we have to cross the river to go look for this bear now.
Yeah.
Scott can't hear anything, like nothing at all, like completely deaf.
Oh, my God.
So we get to the other side, and I find the dead salmon that it had in its mouth laying on the bank, bear tracks heading up the mud into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott tells me, he's like, dude, we're going to have to go in and find this thing. It's not looking good because, it's already gone. We're walking, it's already gone, past 50, 60 yards. And I could tell by the stride. I mean, it was moving pretty good, so it wasn't limping or anything. So we come up with the conclusion that we're both going to go in. And Scott tells me, because he can't hear anything, he's like, dude, he's like, if you hear something, just point your barrel in its direction. He's like, I'll keep an eye on where you're pointing. I was like, all right, sounds good. So we go out, and we're walking down this trail. And in the low timber country of the river bottoms, super, super thick country. Mm-hmm. You got these big, tall spruce trees. And then, and you take Pennsylvania mountain laurel and times it by 3 for sure.
God, I hate the laurel.
And the brush is, 12 feet high on both sides. And you're walking down a 3 to 4 foot wide bear trail at this point. Can't see anything.
They have bear trails?
Yeah, bear trails.
Holy shit, I've never seen a bear trail.
I'd be so nervous.
Yeah, well, they're in Alaska, the bears and the moose, everything, step in the same tracks. And they've done it for thousands of years. Like, there's places you can go where the bear tracks are literally embedded in the ground because they step in the same footprints over and over again.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. This area wasn't that detailed, but nevertheless, it was a bear trail. So we're walking this trail that this bear was routinely using. Mm-hmm. It knew where to go to hide.
Yeah.
So when a bear goes and it's wounded and it runs and it hides somewhere, 9 times out of 10, it faces the way it came from. Because in its mind, another bear or something attacked it.
Yeah.
And it runs in to hide in the thick cover, and it faces back because it's expecting whatever just attacked it to be following it. So it's waiting for you, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many bears I come up on dead or still alive, and they're just looking right at you, your eye-to-eye contact.
Oh, shit.
So we're walking down this trail, and we already have this in our mind. Like, this is possibly what might happen.
Right.
So we're walking in, we get quite close to about 100 yards or so into the woods, and I start hearing like a woofing noise.
Yeah.
And it's hard to replicate, but it's a sound of like their teeth chomping, chattering.
Okay.
And I see the bushes shaking up ahead of us a little ways. And I'm like, Scott, And he just keeps walking because he can't hear me. I'm like, Scott! I'm like yelling at him. But I yell. All of a sudden, this bear just roars. And it says, it just roars as loud as it can. And it starts running from the center of us ahead.
Yeah.
And Scott actually heard it. That's how loud it was.
Oh,
and
God.
It's in front of us. And he like turns and he looks. This bear goes from like the center to the right. And it's like flanking us from right to left. We're just pointing the. He has a 457 Wild West Custom. And then I have my 338 Win Mag. And we're just swinging the guns back and forth, thinking this thing's going to come from one of the sides and hit us.
Yeah.
And then it stops, and then I see it leaving, going away. All you can see is the tops of the bushes, mind you. You can't see the bear.
Right.
And this bear's probably 40 yards ahead of us, but we can't see it. So it goes off through the brush, and now it's like, okay, it's alive, and it's well enough. This is going to be squirrely. And the hunter's yelling at us. We leave the hunter, back on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And he's yelling. He's like, you guys okay? He's like, what's going on in there, He's like, just stay back, Jeff. Just stay back. Don't come in here. It's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going down the trail. And this trail ends up going to like a Y.
Mm-hmm.
So it veers off. And there's a big wood island in the center of this trail. And we can hear the bear. And it sounds like he's just on the other side of this wood island of spruce trees. And so we got this Y. And we don't know which one to go. So me and Scott were standing there for a little bit. And eventually the bear goes quiet. So we don't know if it left. Did it finally die from its wounds? We don't know. So we decided after a while, Scott's just like, you know what, man, screw it. He's like, I'll go left, you go right. So he goes down the left trail, I go down the right trail. And there's these little fingers that peel off the trails, like these little tiny trails.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're going slow. Because like I said, sometimes these bears, they let you get right up on them. And then they jump up and grab you. I mean, it's you can get close to these bears. Yeah, so we go in and, again, there's all these little fingers, and I'm peeking down the fingers, pointing my rifle, like hoping that this bear just isn't right there next to me.
Yeah.
And as I'm looking down to my right, I notice a flash of brown off to my left out of my peripheral vision. And I look over, and there's this bear. It's just laying in the middle of the trail because the trails end up reconverging again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just laying there in the middle of the trail, and it lifts its head up and it starts going forward. They run like a cat, like close to the ground, ears back running. And this thing just like lets out this battle cry again, a huge, huge roar, and just comes running. It had two choices on who was going to run to, me or Scott, and luckily it picked Scott. So I'm just standing there, and I'm like,
poor Scott.
Yeah,
poor Scott.
I'm like, I pull my gun in, and I go up the raise to shoot the bear. And Scott, I can just now see him. He's coming around, and he's looking down another side trail, his gun, looking. And I don't know if he heard it or if he's seen it coming, but then the coolest shot I've ever seen in my entire life with his lever gun. He doesn't even shoulder. He just swings and fires from the hip on a swing, shoots, hits the bear high up in the neck, and the bullet literally goes like right along the spine and like comes out all the way, like pretty much the ass of the bear, and just pile drives. It dies like 7 feet from him. Killed it instantly on that shot.
Holy crap.
So we go up and we're shaking. We're really, and then Jeff, the hunter, he's even further back. He's screaming, are you guys okay? What's going on in there? And we're like, dude, get in here, man. Get in here. It's dead. He's like, what? He's like, we got it. So he comes in. And, so we take take all the pictures and stuff. And we start the skinning and butchering process of it. And as we're skinning it out, we noticed that there's 3 entrance wounds in this bear. And we're like, okay, well, Jeff shot once, hit it. I seen it hit.
Yeah.
The second shot hit the water and splashed. So it was obviously a miss.
Yeah.
And then Scott's third shot hitting it high in the shoulder, dropping it.
Yeah.
So we're like, what the heck? Well, then we're, skinning out, and I seen from the angle, I'm like, that's another broadside hit. And then we go in, and we end up finding a slug that's on the opposite side of the hide. Here, it was his bonded bullet of Scott's. The bullet hit the water and ricocheted and bounced off and hit the bear and got shot.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So it was just, that second round, hobbled it up pretty bad, because the hunter put a bad shot in it, too. The bear eventually died, but it would have died who knows how long
because
it was wounded, got shot. But, the luckiest shot of all time, skipping a bullet off the water and hitting the bear.
Damn.
So he lost. He couldn't hear.
Yep.
He skipped a bullet off the water into the bear.
This is correct.
And then he hip fired and killed it with his shot straight down the body of the bear.
Absolutely.
living legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to meet this Sky
well,
guy now.
Sadly, there was about, I figured probably about 4 years ago, he actually passed away back in 2020 going into 2021. But yeah, he was the guy that taught me pretty much everything that I know. He was from Western Pennsylvania as well.
Okay. Okay.
But we didn't even know each other at the time. He was kind of, for Pennsylvania, he's kind of like a legend. You know, he went everywhere, killed pretty much everything in North America, you know, guiding in the Yukon and like BC and Alaska. I mean, he did it all. And then we both were trained under master guide Jim Bailey. He's one of the most legendary Alaskan guides of all time. He's 83 years old and he's still doing it. So
damn.
But yeah, I mean, that was our lineage. But yeah, he taught me everything I know. But yeah, like I had several occasions over the years with Scott where we're on bears like that.
And wow.
Just literally feet away. They're dying at your feet practically.
Wow. That is definitely an experience that a lot of people should check out. For sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I recommend to everybody, if you ever get the opportunity to come hunt Alaska for grizzly, I mean, it's other than maybe some hunts in Africa like Cape Buffalo or hunting hippopotamus, lion, something like that, I mean, it's the most hardcore hunt you're ever going to go on.
For sure. So where can people go? What's your phone number to call you to book a hunt? I know you also write for Fur and Fish Game.
Yeah.
So a lot of those stories are from like what you just told us, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like I, so again, Furfish Game, I have several articles out with them. I'm pretty much now like the main Alaskan contributing author for the magazine.
Okay.
In 2023, going into 24 alone, you can expect about 9 to 12 articles from me this year, pretty much on a monthly basis. So if you haven't subscribed to the magazine yet and you want to hear some cool Alaskan stories, go ahead and do that. That's the easiest way to see what I'm writing. But other than that, you know, I can kind of give out some contact info. Social media hasn't been the best for me because I do so many bear hunts. Instagram and stuff doesn't like me too much. So, you know, there's been times I've had 11, 12,000 people following me, you know, booking hunts and everything through it. And then out of nowhere, I just get banned from Instagram because I kill one too many grizzlies.
Yep.
So other than that, you know, you can give me a call at 907-707-4165. That's the main, that's my main cell phone number and the main number for A-Team Outfitting and A-Team Adventures LLCs. Or you can shoot me an email at Alaskan with an N, AlaskanGuide2017@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks, Tyler.
Sweet.
Yep. Yeah, I love the story.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read some more story for Furfish Game. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
My name's Lance Dunham. I'm here with the LD Guide Service out of LD
Bradford County, Pennsylvania,
roughly 2.5 hours from here.
I say you've been doing this for, well, longer than I've been alive. So
This is my 43rd year guiding, and there's pretty much nothing I haven't seen or done on the river, fishing-wise.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're all about. So I'm sure 43 years, you got a lot of stories. So is there a memorable story that you tell everyone, you're like, this is it? Do you got one of those in 43 years?
Well, I don't know if I can get done in that quick.
That's all right.
But I was pestered 43 years ago by my first client for hours before. I used to have a outdoor shop, sporting goods store. He came in dressed in a three-piece suit, asked me several times to go, and I said, no, I don't want to be a guide. Too much responsibility. He kept in that store for about 45 minutes. Another customer never came in. There's a little town up near New Albany, New Shore actually was. And he said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He says, how much money did you make today? And I lied through my teeth and I proudly said $50. I didn't make $50 even what he put on the deck for me. So he says, well, he smiled. He knew better. So he said, well, here's $50. Can we go fishing? I said, you betcha. Let's go. I put the sign on the door. At that time, I had a little 14-foot John boat out back, threw it in the back of the truck. We went fishing. We caught about 15 fish. To him, it was a good day.
Yeah.
And after that, he was my first customer. He fished with me for 33 years.
Wow.
Sometimes up to 20 times in a year. He was attorney in Philadelphia and a corporate attorney. Mm-hmm. So he brought new clients every Friday.
Wow.
Every Friday. 33 years later, when he died, I put his ashes in the river. So his name was Dick Rivers, and God bless him.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Getting into that's how you got into it.
And, that's right.
And you fell in love with it ever since.
That's right. I've been blessed.
I'd say you catch a little bit of everything.
Mostly predominantly smallmouth bass, but we do get into in the cooler water, you can get into the walleye, pike, and muskie. Right now, if I wasn't down here at the show, I'd be muskie fishing up on the water.
I'd say, is it eating you up on the inside a little bit that you're sitting inside, not out in the water?
I get a little antsy.
Yep.
After inside for a while.
I don't blame you.
I don't care what the weather is. I can dress for it.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure. So, someone wants to book a trip with you. They want to go fishing. How do they get in contact with you?
I've got a very extensive website, ldguideservice.com. On there, it shows my open dates. You can book the trip there. You can pay the deposit there and get confirmation, the whole deal.
And then they're good to go.
They're good to go.
That's perfect. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us. Appreciate
it. My pleasure.
We are here with Tim Zelenka.
Yep.
Zelenka with ARD Sights, talking about adjustable red dot sights. Tim, before we really get into it, why don't you just talk about who you are, what ARD is, and what you guys are doing here?
What we have is we make the mounts, then we put a red dot on a bow. So we've been shooting a red dot on a bow for about 30 years, and now we just started getting into where we make that mount adjustable. For different yardages.
How's the response been so far from
I think it's phenomenal with guys that, wow, that's not what I thought it was, who they, you know, saw an advertisement or something like that. And especially for older guys who can't see anymore, it's a game changer that, you know, they had blurry pins and you know, now that kind of all that all goes away.
So you talked about the difference and kind of some of the benefits for guys that are used to using the pin sights. What are some of the differences in your shooting technique from a pin sight versus the red dot sight?
I think the number one thing that we see is with a peep sight, you're kind of putting your ear to your shoulder a little bit, trying to get your eye behind that string. And we don't need to do that anymore. We're focusing on the target, not really worrying about, you know, looking through the string anymore. So someone that's come from 20 years of muscle memory of trying to look through a peep, that's a little bit different. But on the other side of it, it's just something we don't worry about anymore. We just center the dot.
And you're talking about moving it up and down. So having more opportunity when you're out there, it was easier change in distance and when you're sighting stuff.
Yeah, in real hunting situations in the Midwest, we're probably not moving it a whole lot because most of our shots are probably under 30 yards anyway.
Yep.
But, you know, with the clicks on the mount, we try to keep it simple so you're not focusing on trying to read a sight tape and stuff. You know, you could just make that sight tape a little bit bigger and tape it to your riser, more like a long-range gun. Hey, I need 2 clicks or 4 clicks.
Yeah, so what I've seen here in some of these charts that you have is that kind of commonly a click equals about 5 yards. Is that generally a...
Yeah, it depends on the speed of your bow, you know, what weight arrow. You know, if you're shooting tack, obviously we're not moving it near as much in that setup as we are if we're, you know, shooting a 550 grain arrow, you know. Mm-hmm. But after 30 yards, you might take you 3 clicks to move 5 yards, you know, as you get out further and further.
So in this past year, Tim, what's your favorite story that you've gotten back about someone using your product out in the field?
I think it's stuff that we see time and time again that literally it's 80-year-old guys. They just can't see anymore, you know, and now that, you know, it totally clears it up, because that's probably 90% of the market is guys who are just older.
Okay.
And don't want to make that, like, jump from a compound to a crossbow, because for whatever reason.
Yeah, they don't want to shoot a crossbow anymore, but they just can't see. And I mean, you guys are a little bit younger, so you don't get it, you know, quite yet that, hey, I got to have reading glasses for everything, and it's either my pins are clear or the target's clear. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, Pastor and I both shot the bow over there with the red dot on, and it's different when you first make that conversion, like jump from, like, we're using pins or a single pin to 3 pins as Patrick does. Like, you're looking for that anchor point right off the bat.
Yeah,
like that's the main thing that I think I was looking for, and it took me a little bit to find the red dot and figure that out.
Once you get that muscle memory, you know, we've done it for so long, you know, you'd ask my kids, you know, they can't how else would we do it?
Yeah.
But it's just there every time, and you're not ever focusing on what's on the red dot or the sight. You're mm-hmm. just always looking at the target.
And I like that a lot. And I could see
good.
Blue Dodge Ram.
Yep. I'm a red Dodge Ram. I'm a red Dodge Ram.
You're the red one. Yeah. So I mean, like when I got up there and I shot it, I like what you're saying about the focus on the target. Because so often, this was my first year bow hunting this past season. And so, like, getting out, there's so many times where I had opportunities and so much of my focus mm-hmm. was on, do I have my anchor point? Are my arms relaxed? Well, they're too relaxed. I'm waving the microphone all over the place. Yeah. But, you know, all these different things that you have to focus exactly. on, and you're taking the focus and putting it on the sight. So you guys do the mounts. And then, so how does it usually work then with the sight? If someone buys a mount from you, how does that usually work?
We sell them as a package.
Okay.
We like the tube style red dots, like an ultra dot. That's what we've used, you know, for 30 years. Years ago, we used the Citron, but ultra dot's really the only one that makes that. So that's what we sell probably almost all of. If you already had a red dot, then we make the rail, and you can put your own red dot on a rail. There's some that work better than others. We mm-hmm. want something that fits low on the rail. And we don't want the adjustments between the riser and the sight. But they all work basically the same. But anything round, our brain knows where center mm-hmm. is.
Yep.
So it's very easy to center up. A reflex style is flat on the bottom. It takes us a few more minutes to go, or seconds, you know, where's center?
Right.
And just so, are these still out there to buy or to use?
Yeah, we sell them, but you could go buy one anywhere and put it on the rail.
Okay.
You know, just some work, you know, some guys are taking stuff off their turkey gun and just putting it on there. It just has to sit low, you know, but if you're on a budget and you're like, I need a $50 red dot,
mm-hmm.
you can go that route.
Yeah.
You know, or you don't shoot very far. You can go with a fixed mount and an inexpensive red dot.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go spend $600 on the whole setup.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, for folks listening at home, where can they find you guys?
Just go to adjustablereddot.com or, you know, adjustablereddot on YouTube and watch a bunch of our videos.
Okay.
Justin with On Point Adventure Foods, how are you guys doing today?
Good, how are you?
We're good. We're tired.
Yeah.
We've been awesome. Walking around all day.
Been having a good show. It's been really busy. A lot of good leads. A lot of good customers stopping by, guys mm-hmm. going on hunting trips, fishing trips all over the U.S., some guys all over the world in some cases here stopping to check us out.
Yeah, pretty much I have never dabbled in anything freeze-dried. Didn't even think about it, really. Like, I know there's stuff at Walmart you buy.
Yeah.
But that's the stuff that I mostly know about. So walk us through how the first bag happened.
So kind of the Walmart side of the story, right? So I've been doing a lot of elk hunts and stuff. Started whenever I was 14, going to Colorado with my my family, and been eating a lot of the freeze-dried foods, as you said, like not to knock on any brand specifically, but the Walmart brands, stuff like that. Chock full of sodiums and preservatives. They're okay to eat, you know, here off occasionally, but if you're actually out in the backcountry for an extended period of time, we got into like super high sodiums of those meals, and they just kind of bound you up sort of and dehydrate you and all the kind of stuff that you don't want to be running into when you're in the back country. So sort of saw the need to make our own homemade food available mm-hmm. in the back country on our trips. We go on extended elk hunts, mule deer. I was in Alaska this past September on a moose, self-guided moose hunt. So we do, a lot of times, like I said, weeks at a time. So we want to have the best food we can to stay healthy for the longest time, to be able to go out further and stay out longer during our trips. So,
I mean, we had the Skittles, which it tastes exactly like Skittles.
Kind of mind-blowing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sour and normal. What we like to do on this podcast, we like to hear a story from this past year.
Okay. Yep.
Or a previous year, what
sure,
is the most,
sure.
like, the best, the one that sticks in your head the most?
So kind of how we got started, I was out in Colorado on a mule deer and elk hunt combined archery season. And I was actually out for like 17 days straight bow hunting. And my body was just like shutting down. I was eating the other brands, not necessarily going to knock any of them by name, but like eating all the other brands of the freeze-dried foods. And like I said, just kind of dehydrating me, and I could feel it making me groggy during my trip. I was eating it for so long, of a period of a time. So we were out on that trip sitting on a rock with two of my buddies and just sitting there making this stuff. And I knew I wasn't going to enjoy it before I even ate it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, I got to eat something and just force it down. And by the time it was over, we were just like just forcing this stuff into us. And
just kind of got tired of that
and wanted to have a better alternative. So
we were sitting there on the rock,
and the idea hatched. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna make my own food for doing this.
And then this past year in 2022, we did a fly-in
self-guided moose hunt in Alaska, 12 days,
and we ate the
food the whole trip. In there, we
had no issues with us. Fueled us.
We had to pack out in a 54-inch bull moose from Alaska.
Wow,
with
that's awesome.
On our backs.
Damn.
2 miles, 1,000-foot vertical down to base camp. And
if any of your viewers have ever like been to
Alaska, like man, it's like you got to fight for every square inch and step of that terrain up there. They call it the bush. So
yep.
It's like swimming through it. So
yeah.
And you know, with 150 plus pound moose hind quarter on your back,
yeah. You know, you're definitely fighting for it. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, we took all of our own food with us, like I said, and it fueled us on our trip. We had
no issues eating it for
like our hunt itself was 12 days. Now we took it with us
on all of
our drives around Alaska, and you know, it stopped us
from
stopping to eat anywhere.
Yeah.
So we were able to
just that having a hot meal
along the road anywhere. Mm-hmm. We were up in Denali National Park, and all the tourists were stopping by looking at us like we had like 10 eyes, you know. They were driving by eating like, you know, family was like
eating like peanut butter and
jelly sandwiches and all this other stuff.
And we're there
with my jet boil on the tailgate making like,
sausage biscuits and gravy or a Southwest bowl or spaghetti with meat sauce, you know. So it's been a game changer, and it's kind of our lifestyle transferred into the
foods. All the
input kind of that I've had from my experiences.
All the years in the backcountry
have gone into our
foods.
Everything from our
packaging being lighter and shorter.
They're not real tall. You're not gonna get like food on your on your hands. You don't have to have real long spoon to eat them. The bags are reinforced at the bottom. They won't tip over. They won't rip open in your pack. You won't have like spaghetti meat
sauce like swimming through your
exo pack in the backcountry. So,
yeah.
But just kind of. Kind of how we got here, and it's been a lot of good input and changes along the way to get to where we're at. So.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we as not even just hunters, but people just go backpacking and hiking.
It's right,
like we're constantly like, what can I bring with me, food wise?
Right,
like it's always changed. Like we put our bodies through like the most physical shit.
Yes, yes,
to put it. Why wouldn't you want to put something into your body to give you energy that's actually good?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
You're eating the, in that
case,
with the other brands,
I mean, you're eating the worst food at the
worst possible time. When you need
the
most nourishment at the most
extreme environment,
you're putting the worst food in your body.
Yeah. So we're trying to get over all that. And, like some of ours, our meals are exactly like 50% or less in sodium than all the other brands. We add no extra salt to our meals. There's zero MSGs in any of our foods whatsoever. The protein content's through the roof. Like the spicy breakfast skillet
has 57 grams of protein in that one.
So there's 6 eggs in that meal, actually.
Whew.
So it's very filling. I mean, it's whenever you're out, you know, at high elevation, you're burning it off. So you need
the lean
protein and good energy while
you're out. So and we don't use any potatoes
in any of our meals because we feel that's a filler
versus using. We use more meat
and you know, zero fillers and stuff like
that. So it costs us a lot more to make the meals, but I really, to be honest with you, don't care that it costs more. Like I want people to have a better experience on their trips, and really the food to be the last of their worries and actually add to their trip instead of being a hindrance on them. So, but guys, if you're looking at doing any backcountry hunting and especially, you know, hiking and stuff like that, you know, fishing trips, just even just for the convenience and stuff, you know, your viewers would be welcome to reach out to us.
Yeah. So where can they go reach out to you? Where can they follow you on Instagram, Facebook,
sure,
all that kind of good
stuff?
Sure.
We're on Facebook, Instagram, On Point Adventure Foods. We're on, like I said, on the Facebook, Instagram, and we're going to be launching our website here in about a month, onpointadventurefoods.com.
Okay.
So we just actually just got business July of 2022, so it's been relatively new. So we wanted to wait and make sure that everybody here at the show kind of got the first glance at it and got the insider loop on it versus anybody online. We've shipped nationwide already to guys hunting on backcountry trips and stuff all over the West. It's been a really good experience.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, awesome. Thanks for jumping on here and telling us about it. And
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah.
You betcha.